Our first lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Let us listen for God's word. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from 2 Kings chapter 23. Listen again for God's word. Then the king directed that all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem should be gathered to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him went all the people of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, keeping his commandments, his decrees, and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. All the people joined in the covenant. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
It's rare that one day gets to mean so many things. It's Halloween, for one, and if the empty store shelves yesterday are any indication, people are stocked and ready to pass out candy today to ghouls and goblins, Bob Ross, Ted Lasso, Black Widow, and other Marvel characters this afternoon and evening. This is the day Stephen Colbert reminded his audience on Friday that people all across the country will stuff themselves with Butterfingers while pretending they haven't been doing that for the entire pandemic. It's also Reformation Sunday, the day we remember the kind of church we are with the words Ecclesia Reformata, Semper Reformanda. Once reformed, always reforming. Reformation Sunday calls us out of our settled beliefs and back into an active faith, led by a love beyond belief, moving forward in faith.
Today is also an important day in the Celtic Christian year. To my Americanized mind, it looks like it would be pronounced Samhain, but that is not the correct pronunciation of this religious festival. I saw a meme on Facebook this week that offered some help. The Irish pronounce this Gaelic word Samhain. In Wales, they say Samhain. The Scots say Samhain or Shaven. And in America, we say pumpkin spice. But however you say it, Samhain marks the end of summer and the harvest season as we move into the beginning of winter. It's about halfway between the autumnal equinox and the winter solstice. It's a day to connect with the transitions of creation. As Christine Walters Paintner writes, Samhain marks one of the two great doorways of the Celtic year. The Celts divided the year into two seasons, the season of light and the season of dark. It is in the silence of darkness that we find whisperings of new beginnings.
It seems appropriate that creation would remind us of new beginnings. That's pretty much where we are right now as a church. in a time of new beginnings. Believe it or not, today is only the 8th Sunday since we gathered together in person again while maintaining our online worshiping community as well. After being apart for so long, we are having to learn again how to be church, not simply by going back to the way things were before the pandemic, but as a hybrid church now that seeks to connect with people both in the old ways we know and new ways we learned during the pandemic. It's been a great opportunity to ask new questions of our life and ministry together, to discern what we need to let go of in our ministry, who we are called to be now, and what we're called to do now in this hopefully post-pandemic world. As we respond, as we reopen to life this fall, Tammy and I invited you 8 weeks ago on a journey of reconnecting, remembering, and recommitting ourselves to our life together as a faith family. Those three words, reconnect, remember, and recommit, have guided us during this new beginning of our life together. We've been reconnecting by gathering in the best and safest ways to build a sense of belonging after being apart for 18 months. We've been remembering who we are as followers of Jesus and Christ Church here at FPCY by exploring our 6 ministry priorities and what it means to organize our life around them. Radical hospitality, compelling worship, lifelong faith formation, intentional fellowship, inspirational stewardship, and transformational mission. Our hope has been that as we reconnect and remember, we would also recommit ourselves to this journey of faith we are on together, and as we are led by love to move forward in faith. After weeks of reconnecting and remembering, today we want to focus on recommitting.
So what might this recommitment look like for us as people of faith and participants in this faith community? Well, it can all be boiled down into one very important word for us Reformed and Presbyterian Christians. This word has both biblical and theological meanings and significance. People throughout the centuries have studied it, argued over it, and even died for it. And the word is covenant. Yep. Covenant is not a word that we use very often these days. Other than seeing it painted on the side of a tractor-trailer truck for a major trucking company, which we saw a lot this summer while we were on the road, or an occasional church sign, covenant is not part of our everyday conversation or usage. So what is a covenant? According to Merriam-Webster, a covenant is a formal or serious agreement or promise, sometimes a formal written agreement between two or more people, businesses, countries, etc. A covenant is a formal, solemn, and binding agreement or compact. While all of this might sound sort of abstract, let me tell you where Chip and I were 2 weeks ago. 2 Saturdays ago, we were on a ranch in Union Mills, North Carolina, with about 12 other close friends and family who had come together to witness and celebrate my best friend since 7th grade, Sarah, and her husband, Tom, as they renewed their wedding vows after 25 years of marriage. This was a special time for so many reasons. I had given the homily at their first wedding, but because I was 2 weeks shy of being ordained at the time, I wasn't able to officiate for the whole service as Sarah had hoped. The past 25 years have been no walk in the park for Sarah and Tom, as they are for most married couples. As they dealt with job transitions and moves, various health conditions and struggles with their kids, and even a tree falling on their house. Their first wedding day is also a really special day for Chip and I. It began for me that day, October 19th of 1996, at about 6 in the morning, when Chip climbed the stairs of my parents' house up to the bedroom where I was staying, carrying a tray full of hot coffee, my favorite sticky buns, and an engagement ring.
It was also a good time to get her to say yes before she was awake, so let's be clear.
So we had a lot to celebrate. We all got dressed up. Their two daughters solemnly processed down the white runner that was spread out over the grass up to a little bridge where their dad, Tom, stood next to me. Sarah finally got to wear the red wedding dress she had always dreamed about. I invited Sarah and Tom to reflect on what the last 25 years together had taught them about life and love and commitment. And then they faced each other and promised once again to have and to hold, to love and to cherish, in sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, to be faithful with, to bear with and be faithful to each other in all circumstances of their life together, as long as they both shall live.
That's a covenant. A formal binding agreement, a serious, and in this case, also a joyful promise to walk through life together as partners, to support and care for one another, and to stay by each other's side no matter what life brings their way. We found an older version of Presbyterian wedding vows that begins like this: I do promise and covenant before God and these witnesses. Whether we realize it or not, our lives are defined and guided by covenants all the time. Some of them written, some unwritten, some legally binding, some not. But whatever it is, they shape who we are as individuals and families and institutions, communities, and a nation. A driver's license, employment contracts, professional codes of ethics, the oath of citizenship, even joining certain community groups. All of these bring with them certain roles and responsibilities, and we make certain promises to act in certain ways as a result of these covenants.
Covenants go back to almost the beginning of human history, and they are at the very core of our faith story as Christians. As former pastor and stewardship coach Dr. Deborah Rexroad explains, a covenant is essentially a relationship. In the Bible, covenants help define the relationship between God and God's people. She continues, the language of covenant begins as early as Genesis 1 and 2, but then finds its fullest expression later with the stories of Noah and then Abraham and all throughout the Old Testament. We see the covenant God established with Israel and the personal covenant established with David and the many kings that followed. The prophets continually call the king and the people back to their covenant relationship with God. These covenants were and are a way of helping us understand how it is that we are to relate to God and how God relates to us.
We find one of those covenants in our second scripture reading today. The backstory is that a book was found by someone one day in the house of the Lord. Somehow that book had gotten lost and misplaced, and then just forgotten. When it was found and read, it was immediately given to King Josiah. He recognized its importance, not only as a book of his ancestors, but also what God intended for God's people all the time. Our scripture reading calls this book the Book of the Covenant, because it clearly described the kind of relationship God wanted to have with God's people, and it provided the guidelines for living in that relationship. The book was so important that Josiah called for all the people of Israel to meet him at the house of the Lord, where they would hear it read aloud. After he read it, the king made a covenant before the Lord. Josiah promised before all the people to do three things: follow the Lord, keep God's commandments, and perform the words in the book of the covenant. In essence, Josiah was setting up a rule of life, the way he promised to live, what would guide his life and his leadership, what would nurture his faith and form his actions. But this wasn't just a royal show. Notice how he would follow the Lord, keep God's commandments, and enact the words of the Book of the Covenant. He would do all of that with all of his heart and all of his soul. Remember the greatest commandment, what the Jews call the Shema? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Josiah's covenant wasn't just a promise until something better came along. This rule of life was grounded in him by his giving his heart, his life to this promise, to this covenant with God, following the Lord, keeping God's commandments, performing the words of the book of the covenant. This was how he would love God with his life. This is how he would nurture the covenant God made with God's people. That day was a new beginning for the people of Israel. After Josiah made his covenant, he invited the people to do the same, to make a covenant with God that would put their relationship with God at the center of their lives and their life together as a people, that would reform and guide their words and actions and how they lived their lives in relationship with God and each other.
Unfortunately, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, and really all of humanity, don't do a very good job of keeping their covenants with God. In fact, they fail miserably over and over again, and God seeks us out over and over again to renew God's covenant with his people. That's why when we moved into the New Testament, God renews his covenant with his people in a totally new and surprising way. Instead of offering us a new covenant in words or laws and telling us how to live in right relationship with God and each other, God decides to actually become one of us and to show us how to do it. God's new covenant comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is both the living Word and God's way of life. Jesus doesn't get rid of all those other words and rules and guidelines for living that God had given us before, but he fulfills them. He lives them the way God intends us to. And so he shows us how and invites us to follow in his footsteps. Remember those words from the Lord's Supper liturgy when we hold up the cup? This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. As followers of Christ, our life together includes some new covenantal moments. Every time we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we are renewing our covenant with God to be Christ's disciples. The sacrament of baptism is a covenant between God, the church, and the person being baptized. In baptism, we all make promises to follow the way of Jesus Christ with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to put our relationship with God at the center of our lives and our community, and to let it shape us into the people God created us to be. In confirmation and ordination, whenever we receive new members into the church, we are pledging ourselves to lives of faith and service.
Although Paul doesn't use the word covenant explicitly, in our passage from Ephesians, it shows us what a covenant community of Christ looks like. In fact, Paul could have said, "I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called and the covenant you have made with God and each other. Live with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Share your gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. Speak the truth in love. Grow up in every way in Christ. Build the body up in love. As people called and claimed by the God who created us and redeemed us and sustained us, our individual lives and our life together as a church are defined and shaped and guided by the covenant God has made with us in Jesus Christ. Everything we say and do is grounded in God's wonderful promise of steadfast love and faithfulness and the abundant life we find and receive in Jesus Christ. Everything we do here, from our worship and singing and praying, from baptism to confirmation and ordination, weddings and funerals, from sharing food and fellowship and growing in faith together, to feeding hungry people, visiting the lonely, welcoming those who struggle with addiction and mental illness. These are all ways that we live out our covenant with God, putting God at the center of our lives and who we are as the body of Christ here at FPCY.
So here we are, on a journey of reconnecting with each other, remembering who we are as God's children and Christ's church, and recommitting to the covenant that God makes with us in Jesus Christ, and especially as we live it out together as a community of faith. As we continue to emerge from the pandemic and travel through this transitional time together, we recommit ourselves to putting our relationship with God at the center of our lives, following God's ways and walking in Jesus' footsteps. We recommit ourselves to being active participants in this community of faith through our 6 ministry priorities. In a few moments, you will also be invited to make a giving covenant with God, pledging your prayers, your participation, and a portion of your resources to the ministry and mission of this church. As we renew our promises to God, may we experience yet again the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord. And may we journey together into new beginnings, filled with Christ's abundant life and the Spirit's power, strength, and love. Amen.
Amen.